Carolyn, I'm taking the liberty of bringing your outline up here. Looks a lot better than mine. So I appreciate the good work you did. I'd be remiss if I did not thank each and every one who had a part in the decision to invite me to speak on this lectureship. You've always had a real special place in my heart. Tina and I think demonstrate that by coming about twice a year to visit with you. But then while I'm here visiting and you let me speak, that's just Cajun lanyap. Boy, that's really something extra. And I appreciate it so very, very much. Brother Moffitt, I hope nothing happened to the speaker, that he didn't befall some accident or something and couldn't make it. But I'm absolutely thrilled I got to hear you. When you stepped up here in this podium, I went back about two decades to South Haven, Mississippi, in the Power Lectureship, and a restaurant and a booth over in the corner where I spent about an hour and a half one day trying to persuade you to come to Portland to be their preacher. I remember how reluctant you were, and I tried to dispel all the fears that you had. I'm glad you came. You were very wise. I believe that you, as you look back and as this congregation looks back, they'll always be appreciative that you came. And I know that I am. Truly I am. It's good to be with H.D. And since I mentioned his name, that reminds me, have you met his sweet, lovely wife? Maybe you're visiting here and you haven't met the little princess. But you ought to meet her. You ought to get to know her. It'll thrill your life. Now, I know that's just the opposite of what in some quarters you hear. You know, about the prison and all that. But if you'll have confidence in me, you can take these matters and you can dispel those rumors and innuendos and sometimes just flagrant false accusations about the little princess. H.D., our wives are the major part of our ministry oftentimes. I know it's that way with me. Truly it is. Mentioning H.D., I'm reminded that he's interested in space. Sometime he'll sidle up to a stranger and he'll get real close and he'll whisper, "You know, we're not alone." He'll kind of cut his eyes up looking for the mothership. Well, I'm interested in space. But my space is about a half a foot long. HD, that's 6 inches up in Arkansas. That's the space between our ears. The mind that Brother Jerry so well introduced us to in regard to Ephesians 5, verse 17. Maybe they should have let me go first because I've got 15 and 16, and then he would have had 17. There's a walk whereby we must look carefully as we walk. Wise, not as the unwise, but wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Buying up the opportunities, cashing in the opportunities that we have as we redeem the time. Walking that Christian walk in such a way that heaven will be our home. And that while we're here, we'll be terribly blessed in so many wonderful ways. Why? because of who we are. There's a young man in this assembly. I started a relationship with him when we unloaded our furniture a long time ago. And that relationship has only grown deeper and stronger as all these years have gone by. I'm always interested when I come to get a big hug and I'll say, "How you doing?" He'll say, "Better than I deserve." I've always thought, one of these days I'm going to have an opportunity to teach that young fellow that every spiritual blessing that he's experiencing in his life as a faithful father, as a faithful husband, as a faithful member of this congregation, he deserves. Every physical blessing that'll come his way, because the God of heaven is a giver of all good gifts. He does not have variance about him. He does not have a shadow, James says, of turning. So he's consistent in blessing us with physical blessings when we walk in a wise way, this Christian walk. Because Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and all these things that the Gentiles were making priorities will be yours to enjoy. They'll be your blessings. Wonderful prayer that he led us in. I think the world of him, and now I'm going to teach him. He might better get a little different phraseology next time I ask him how he's doing. Because I know what he's saying now, and I know where he's coming from. These are not blessings that come from meritorious works. It's faith working through love and being blessed because of his Christian walk. And so therefore he deserves those blessings. And you, my friend, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, young people, those blessings that come your way, you deserve those. Why? Because of who you are. Because of who you are. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. Let's begin over there where Paul says to the Roman brethren in Romans 15:4, we can learn some things by the things written aforetime. Look at chapter 43. I'm interested in how God sees his Old Testament family. Thus saith Jehovah, that created thee. And then there's that phrase, I have redeemed thee. And then he says, thou art mine. Oh, that's in verse 1. He said, I'll be with thee. Verse 2. Verse 3, I'm Jehovah thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I've given Egypt for thy ransom. Ethiopia, Seba, in thy stead. Since thou hast been precious in my sight, honorable, I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men in thy stead, peoples instead of thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. Verse 7, everyone that's called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yes, whom I have made. That's what he thought of his Old Testament family under a dispensation of the blood of bulls and goats. Now, you and I, we live in a dispensation. We're a part of the church that was purchased by the blood of the monogenes, the only begotten Son of God. Don't you know he loves you more? Yes, he does. You say, well, but he loves the whole world. Of course he does. Of course he loves the whole world. How many times in this lectureship has it been so inspiring to understand how that John 3 and verse 16, so relevant for you and for me, as we understand the will of the Lord. He so loved the world that he gave. That little word so there is very important in that passage. It's houtos. It's an adverb in the Greek. Manner and degree. That little word so shows you how much he loves the whole world. The whole world, Romans chapter 5, while they were still in their sins. Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a commentary on John 3 and verse 16. Verse 9, much more then. What do you suppose that references? Well, the context is his love. That's what it's referencing. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, that's you and me. That's his church. That's his family in this dispensation. Shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him? Talking about you and me. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, the application of the grace that came by our Lord so that you could appropriate those provisions that grace provides through your faith, and salvation will be yours and you'll be added to his spiritual body and you'll be his family, much more being reconciled, shall you be saved by his life? He's talking about you and me. Much more then. Did he love the whole world? Did he love the whole world so much that he gave his only begotten Son? Of course he did. Does he love his family in a special way? How can you possibly look at the context of this passage and not understand that he loves us more? He loves us more. I'm thinking about a passage over in Deuteronomy. Let's look at chapter 14 for just one moment. You know, time's going to really, am I going to have as much time as those other speakers? Okay, very good. Look at verse 2 of Deuteronomy 14. And we're talking about, again, his family in the Old Testament, under the blood of bulls and goats that could not take away sin. For thou art a holy people unto Jehovah thy God. Jehovah hath chosen thee to be a people for his own possession. My, it sounds like New Testament passage, doesn't it? Above all people that are upon the face of the earth. He chose Abraham's seed to be someone very, very special. And through that great work of the Old Testament, faith could be on the earth, and Jesus could come, and he'd die for all mankind. And we could be a part of his church. Listen, I promise you, the scriptures teach we are a special family. We are a special people. We're God's people. We're children of God. He loves us as a family, like a father loves his family. I have four lovely daughters up in Nashville, Arkansas. I have grandchildren. Listen, I love you. I love all men. If I know my, if God knows my heart, I have no animosity toward anyone alive. But I love my family in a special way. So do you. That's why the Holy Spirit chose us to understand the will of God in this very wise walk of the Christian life, to understand its foolishness, as Jerry says, not to understand the will of the Lord. But one of the main ingredients in this Christian walk is spiritual self-esteem, understanding who we are, continuing to be what we ought to be. Turn with me to the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. My, so many lessons. I could use hours and hours. I could use the whole week if I had it. Never touched hardly the hem of the garment in regard to turning to the Scriptures, both Old Testament and New, to really show us who we are and how special we are as His family. Starting with verse 3 of chapter 1 of 1 Peter, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy beget us again unto a living hope." We have a hope that's alive and anchored in our Lord because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. "Unto a family inheritance." Look at that context. "Unto an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled." How many inheritance down here on the earth in a family arrangement have children been cheated out of by judges, lawyers, family members who were greedy, took their part of their inheritance, defiled it and corrupted it in the sense that they stole it from them? Listen, you don't have to worry about that as a child of God. Our Lord in John 14 says, "I'm going to go and prepare a place for you in my Father's house. It's a mansion in glory. If I go and prepare that place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." By the promise and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and behind every promise He made is the omnipotent power of the Father. It's going to take place. We don't have to worry about that. No one's going to defile it. No one's going to corrupt it. Notice that. It fadeth not away. There's that Greek term, amaranthos. The Greeks had a fable flower. They wanted in their mind a bloom that never faded. When it came forth, it was for eternity in their mind. It was called the amaranth. The Holy Spirit reached into their culture and gave them a lesson that they could always understand. You've got a mansion in glory, and that blessing is not ever going to fade. It's always going to be fresh throughout all of eternity. And you know that word "throughout"? Look what a misnomer that is. How do you spend eternity when there's no end? That's who you are. These are some of the reserved in heaven for you. Reserved. "I'll prepare a place. I'll go. I'll do it. I'll come again. I'll take you there." It's a reservation I'm making for you. Won't be a computer glitch down at the office at the motel or the hotel, and someone else is in your room. It's there, provided and reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded. You old soldiers that were with me over in Korea, World War II, and you guarded. You guarded the company. You walked on the perimeter. I was an 18-year-old from North Louisiana. They took me as an old farm boy, and they put me through 16 weeks of basic and put me in the mountains of Korea, and then gave me an M1 rifle and sent me out there at night, and I was supposed to see the enemy when he came and give the warning, or I was supposed to hear him. That was before night goggles. How you gonna see out there in the dark? frightened, but I did the best I could. I walked my post. There's a lot of difference in me guarding that company of 105 howitzers in the artillery position we were in Korea. And my God, through His power, guarding me, protecting me, and you. That word guarded there is a term that came out of the army, the Roman army. They had one that would have the strategy of the battle. They had the strategy of battle in the mind. He had to be protected. They would put a perimeter around him of the best soldiers they had with those large shields, and they would protect him during the battle. That's what that word says. That's what God's doing for you. He's guarding you. He is the omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty. Someone is guarding you that can protect you. Well, it sounds like it might be miraculous. No, there's a prepositional phrase there. Through faith. By the power of God, He has a faith system. He set it up. He's given it to you. He's offered it to you. You've accepted it. Now walk in it faithfully as you walk the Christian walk in a wise way. Not being foolish and misunderstanding what the will of the Lord is, but understanding what the will of the Lord is and who you are and who's protecting you. That parapet, that perimeter, is your Bible study, is your faithful attendance, is the assemblies, whatever they're for, the opportunity to teach, the opportunity to be blessed. Because Peter says that our adversary, the devil, walketh about. He's walking that perimeter that the faith system has set up. And if you've got a weak point, he'll find it. If you've got a breach in your armor, he's going to find it. So you can't have one. You can't have one. You've got to take every advantage against your adversary. So that every lance that he throws, every temptation, every fiery dart, it'll hit one of those shields of faith that's there. And it'll serve you. It'll serve you well. Who set this system up? The army? With a little 18-year-old from North Louisiana? No! The Almighty God of Heaven set this system up. You can believe in the promises of God. They're going to be fulfilled. Oh, and I turn a page, just the next chapter. Who are you? You are an elect race. Brother Williams did a good job on that predestination. Called you through the gospel. Chose you just like God chose the Israelites of old. Above everyone else on the planet, you're chosen as a special family and a special people. A royal priesthood. Anybody see the Queen on television? Hey, did you see her yesterday at the Kentucky Derby? How many weeks have they taught us how royalty was coming from England and how you couldn't touch her, couldn't give her a hug like old Tarno gives me every time we see each other? Oh, you don't touch her. Don't shake hands with her. Royalty. Hey, I'm royalty. Listen, God bless you. Not a word's coming out of my mouth or from a heart that's haughty, prideful, egotistical. No, I'm just dealing with facts. Facts from Holy Scripture. He sees me as somebody. I'm royalty. My older brother is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's a great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's my advocate. He succors me because he's been tempted in every way such as me. That's what we have. That's who we are. No one else on this planet has that but us. Royal priesthood, a holy nation. We don't live in a holy nation anymore. We don't live in a God-fearing nation anymore. We don't live where God can bless our nation anymore. But we are a holy nation. We are a people for God's own possession. You see, there's that passage over there in Deuteronomy 14:2. That's why I wanted to read it to you there as an afterthought. A people for God's own possession. Did you know He does not possess anyone except the New Testament Christian that's faithfully in His family? Brother Thomas Warren wrote us a little book, The Bible Only Makes Christians Only and the Only Christians. I can assure you, that's scriptural. That's who we are. That you may show forth the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Listen, with every load of blessings comes a load of responsibilities. There they are. Oh, the excellencies of my Savior. To take on His image, to take on His attributes. As Peter said from Jehovah God, I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I appreciate so much that the gospel called me and that I obeyed so I could be God's own special possession to show forth the excellencies of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what you have the opportunity to do. Who in times past were a no people. I've not misread it. That's it. A no people. But now are you the people of God? You know what He's telling me there by inspiration? He's saying, Lynn, you're somebody. I deserve His blessings. Why? Because of who I am. You had not obtained mercy, but now have you obtained mercy through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, the Revelation letter. So much of it that I'd love to understand better. But let me read you a passage I do understand. I can associate with it. Listen, verse 6 beginning, Revelation 19. And I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, a voice of many waters, a voice of mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigneth. Let us rejoice, be exceedingly glad. Let us give the glory unto Him for the marriage. Listen now. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife hath made herself ready. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen. Bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they that are bidden to the marriage supper. To the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are true words of God. If you preach the gospel for 40 years, you'll go to a good many weddings. I've been there, done that. I have watched my wife, the talent she has to make wedding garments, make them for four daughters. A lot of other people, but for my daughters. And all the wedding garments in regard to the maids of honor and those that served. She made them. They were beautiful. I have seen them be sure and remind each other. We got to take the ironing board and the iron. Because when you fold them and take them down to the church building, you might get a wrinkle in them. Can't have a wrinkle in that wedding dress. Oh my, we all stand and there comes the bride. the bridegroom waiting for his church. He's going to present it to himself, Ephesians 5, without spot or blemish, without wrinkle, without any such thing. Don't you realize who you are? Don't you realize we're going to the marriage supper? How about the receptions after these weddings? Just thinking about it makes me drool. All the delicacies that you usually don't see on your supper table. Hey, how about those toothpicks and those real ripe strawberries that you dip in that chocolate? It'll make you drool. It really will. Why do you suppose the Holy Spirit talks like this to us, communicates this away? He's just trying with our inability because of our association with things down here. He's taking the best and he said, this is what's waiting for you. This is what's waiting for you. It's the marriage supper. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, there's no power on earth that can take it away from me. There's no power on earth that can take it away from you. Brother Jerry says you have free moral agency. You make a choice. I've made my choice. I'm going to be at that wedding supper. I'd like to invite you to go with me. I'm thinking of a situation over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Those individuals were so disappointed that some of their brethren had died. They weren't going to get to go be with the Lord when He came. Boy, that was all dispelled in chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians beginning with verse 13. We would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those that fall asleep, that you sorrow not, even as those who have no hope, as the rest who have no hope. He said, our Lord is coming from glory with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The clouds are going to roll back one day, and He's coming for His church. Those that are still alive are going to be changed. We're all going to be caught up in the clouds to meet Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with Him in the air. And He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort and encourage that entire congregation and everyone in that assembly so that they'll understand who they are and where they're going and the blessings that attends faithfulness. One of the most sobering thoughts in all the Old Testament, the saddest words, is after God in Isaiah 43, after He told them in Deuteronomy 14, I turn her over to Numbers 33. I turn over to Numbers 13 and verse 33, and after they spy out the land, I find out what they think of themselves. They went in, they saw the giants. They didn't see God like Joshua and Caleb did. They saw the giants. They saw the walled cities. They saw all the blessings. They saw the land flowing with milk and honey. But they came back and they said, we can't take it. And they were right. They couldn't with that attitude. And Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able. And then in verse 33, we find out why they couldn't have it. Why they had to go back into the wilderness, and every one of fighting age, hundreds of thousands, they died in the wilderness, and their bones were bleached white by the sun in the hot sands of Sinai, because they shut the door of opportunity in the face of God when He opened it. A different attitude was in Caleb's heart. And God gave him his mountain that his feet had trod upon when he was an old man. And when you turn over to Joshua 14, you find that his family was given that mountain, and he took it. Because that was the blessings of saying, I know who I am. And when I spy out the land, I know who's spying it out with me. And who's walking with me. And who's guarding me. And who's blessing me with his promises. Another sobering thought, though, is found in Matthew 22. Where my Lord opens up that chapter by saying that a king, he says, here's an illustration of the kingdom of heaven. A king made a great supper, a wedding supper for his son. He gave out special invitations, talking about the Israelites and the preparation for them to come into the kingdom. And they slighted that invitation. Bible students call it the slighted invitation. And so he sends his servant out after they've refused to come, and he says, go out the highways, the byways, get them, bring them in. And they did, and his house was full. And he went in to fellowship those who had come to his son's wedding. And he looks, and there's a man there without a wedding garment. He said, sir, how in the world did you get in here? Well, that's not exactly the language. How did you get in here without a wedding garment? And it says the man was speechless. He told his servants, band him hand and foot. Throw him out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You remember what we read in Revelation 19? What made up the wedding garment? The righteous acts of the saints. God bless you. This morning, you have been put together a wedding garment. Tomorrow, next day, next week, next year, the rest of your life, you're putting together a wedding garment without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. My Savior's coming from glory. He's going to receive us unto Himself. He's going to take us and introduce us to the Father. And we're going to the wedding supper. But we've got to have a wedding garment. Righteous acts of the saints. First thing one needs to do when he reads Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom, is to seek, be in the kingdom. Be in the Christ. Put him on like a garment. Galatians 3:27. All those that were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. You can just almost see someone putting on a garment. Put on the Christ. Robe yourself in that righteousness, in His attributes. And then when He comes from glory, He'll take us all to meet His Father. And for eternity, it'll never fade. Are you here and you need to put on the Christ? Believing, repenting, confessing, that's matchless name of the precious one that died for me and for you on Calvary's cruel cross. You've done that in the past? What about your wedding garment? How does it look? Want to improve on it? Want this congregation to help you? Come while together we stand while we sing.